Welcome to By the Cottage Hearth with Dana Marie. I'll be taking you through the journey we make as healers, the impact we're yet to make, and the words to use to describe it. Come on in. Welcome to the By the Cottage Hearth podcast. I am your host, Dana Marie, and this is episode one of the podcast. Now, I know that sort of puts a little bit of pressure. It's always the hardest one, the very first time, the very first thing that you put on the page, the first episode you release of something. So I kind of wanted to start with what would be an easy thing for me to ramble about, and that's my origin story. And it's really hard to know how far back to go when you're talking about your origin story. I get my clients to go through mapping out their journey as a healer when it comes to, you know, my process. And one of the questions I get is, how far back do you go? And it really depends on your work. And I thought, well, how far back do I go? Do I go to my childhood? But realistically, when it comes to self-expression and knowing why it's so important to me, I kind of do have to go that far back. So I promised it's not going to be hours of speaking about, you know, my entire life. But I think when it comes to my origin story and who I am and why self-expression is so important to me and the work that I do as a healer and as a vodfa, it is kind of important to go back that far. So I grew up in a household where communication wasn't fantastic. I didn't have a great example about how to communicate, and I do want to differentiate between the difference between talking and communicating. Talking, I've got down pat. I've been doing that for a long, long time, no worries. But communication is something that took me well into my 20s to understand that there is a difference. And because there was a lot of, I had domestic violence growing up, I had a lot of dysfunction, I had a lot of hostility and anger and slamming doors and throwing wine glasses through windows. So self-expression ended up becoming a huge part of my work because I know that it can be something you can learn. And I think that's something that a lot of people have struggled with. You kind of think, okay, well, I'm not a great communicator. It's not something that I'll ever get good at. And I'm also someone who's neurodivergent, and I masked for a lot of my life. A few years ago, I made a commitment to myself that I wouldn't be masking anymore. So there's been an unlearning. There's been a process of taking that mask off and learning how to communicate in a very honest way, as it means for me, not necessarily for everyone else. And growing up, I had a real issue with compulsive lying, and I recognized that was coming from a place of survival. It was a mechanism that I had in place to keep myself safe. But when these are the kind of foundational communication pieces that you have, you get to a certain point in your life that you start recognizing, I find it really hard to talk about my feelings. I find it really difficult to be vulnerable. I find it really hard to ask for help. These are all the pieces that, you know, I had to learn along the way. And that's a huge part of self-expression, as far as I'm concerned, because self-expression isn't just posting on social media. It's not just writing that newsletter. It's not just learning how to talk about your work, because these are all pieces of the work that I do. But self-expression goes so much deeper than that. It's being able to express when you're uncomfortable with something. It's about being able to create and actually enforce boundaries, not just for other people in your life, but respecting your own boundaries. So self-expression became such an important part of my work and my life because I know what it's like to be invalidated and to not feel seen and heard and not feel safe to express how you're feeling or ask questions because you're scared of what the response might be. And I'm someone who had to learn how to do that as a neurodivergent person and someone who came with bucket loads of trauma throughout my life. And it was really important to me as I started connecting to purpose that I was able to hold space for other people who struggled with this and had been convincing themselves that they weren't good at communication and that this isn't something they were able to do. And it's very much a skill set that you can learn and that you can put strategies in place to help support that, that you can practice, especially if you've come from a space where you didn't get many options to practice that. So coming further along, I'm not going to go through my entire life as to how that process has happened, but I do want to touch on my work as a shame coach before I got to the iteration of my business now. And the reason why I think that's such a core part of my origin story is because that's when I wrote the book, Now Get Back Up. And Now Get Back Up was written during the period in our lives where none of us were allowed to leave our house. I'm trying to be mindful of words that are going to get me flagged, and you never know what's going to set it off. I'm fine saying fuck, but I'm not going to say any of those other words. I wrote it during a very difficult period in my life, and I'm not just talking about the fact that I wasn't able to leave my house or my postcode or do any of the normal things that I needed for support. In 2019, I actually lost my partner in a truck accident. So I was widowed at 27, and that was an incredibly difficult period in my life where I thought, oh, it's not going to get much worse than this. And then I was put in a position where I needed to process those emotions and find who I was and discover all of those pieces while not being able to go and get support outside of my house and basically get cooped up and forced to kind of reflect on these things that were coming up for me. And writing Now Get Back Up, it was a very honest reflection of the moments in my life that had brought up and created and reinforced shame in my life. And shame started becoming this kind of corner piece of, well, cornerstone of my business and of the work that I did as a healer, because I realized just how many pieces of shame or how many pieces of myself had actually become trapped under shame, and that I wasn't allowing myself to claim as pieces of me because they were buried under these shame stories. So it became this journey of uncovering each story. And then before I knew it, I had an entire book that was describing, this is going to be a long list of things that'll get me flagged, but you know, we express, we do it anyway. So I talked about what it's like to be estranged from your parents when you grow up in a domestic violence situation. I spoke about my history with substance abuse and my struggles with alcoholism, and I'm celebrating. I'm now 2 years sober, and that came from writing that book and really forcing myself to look at the stories that I had in place. And thankfully, you know, the book made me a better person because of it. I talked about what it was like moving to a new country and failing university and dropping out, and my sexual assault and my experience with grief as someone who went through what I went through, not getting my license until later on in life because of another loss that I experienced, miscarriage, and what my experience with childbirth was, and my mental health as someone who's neurodivergent, and a lot of realizations behind what particular flavors of my neurospiciness came out of that book. So it was a really important part of my life, this experience with shame coaching, and actually using it as a modality in the healing space, because I was using shame as a beacon for something that we wanted to improve. Because as much as I could look at all of these stories in my life that I wrote about in the book, in each one of them, there was a story of overcoming that shame. And, you know, even while writing the book, I ended up interviewing a sobriety coach. And at that point, I was still dancing with moderation and telling myself if I just have one, I'll be fine. And having an interview with a sobriety coach after I did that interview and I came off, I had all of this shame that had come up. And I said, what is it trying to tell me? And I said, it's trying to tell me that I felt like an imposter having that conversation because I'm still an addict. And I'm telling myself I can moderate because I'm telling myself I can't be sober. And that moment of shame actually made me a better person. And then I realized that the way that we utilize shame, or we talk about shame, was a bit one-sided, and we weren't seeing this other side of the way that we could use it to kind of flag things in ourselves that we wanted to work through. And then I know for myself now, if I have these moments of shame come up, I almost get excited about them because it's like, oh, like this is something I'm about to discover. This is something I'm about to uncover about myself. And this is a moment of personal growth. And I don't think that that shift with shame might have happened if I hadn't have gone through my experience as a shame coach and held the space for the people that I did, and the hope that they were able to reclaim for themselves by bringing those pieces back, those pieces of themselves that wanted to do differently and be different and do their life differently because of it. So I think my experience with shame coaching not only showed me the kind of the way that I wanted to help people, and that's where my work with self-expression came through, because I realized it wasn't just a focus on shame. I wanted shame there as a modality, but my actual calling was so much deeper than that. And I've come into my work with self-expression, and that's why now I help healers articulate and communicate the work that they're doing and really connect into their self-expression on a both a personal and a professional level, both for themselves as personal development, but also in their businesses to help them grow the work that they're doing. Because I recognize that shame was a root cause for why people weren't able to express themselves in many cases. And why healers? Well, healers are here to do such important work, and I knew through my own work as a healer the impact that I was having, and if I wanted to be able to have an impact and leave a legacy behind, I wanted to be able to create that ripple in the world. Whereas if I was able to help healers create the impact they wanted to do, it was going to be far more of an impact to start there than to go around trying to do all the healing myself and be honest with myself that I couldn't save everyone because I don't have all the modalities to help every problem out there. But I can go back to the source that is helping to facilitate that healing in the world. So when it comes to the guest episodes that I've done, at the end of them, I've asked everyone, what is your impact or legacy goal? Like, what do you want to leave behind in the world? And I think it's beautiful that healers always have an answer to that. There's always this bigger legacy, this bigger impact that they want to leave behind, because it goes so much more beyond just the making the money, because we want to pay our bills. We want to have freedom. We don't want to have our souls absolutely destroyed in a 9-to-5. But also, we want to be able to, leave that legacy behind to create that impact. And that's why healers are my people, and part of why I wanted to create this podcast in the first place, to give a platform to them to use, a platform for them to use their voices and really give an example about the way that you can be speaking about your work and the impact that you can have in the world. So before I mentioned my work as a Wolfa and finding purpose. Now, I'd say I'm just pulling a number out of my ass. 98% of people don't know what a Wolfa is. I really don't know how many people, but it's not many. The closest comparison or example I can compare it to is it's a form of Norse shamanism. I do a lot of work within Norse practices because of my heritage, because my ancestors. I work with Frigg, the Norse goddess. She's a very important part of my practice and of my life and my spiritual path. But my actual calling to the path of a Wolfa, she was a woman that was respected. And I think when you think about the time where the career of being a vodvizhina was, and the state of society in the world back in those days, to have a role as a woman that was respected is pretty powerful in itself. A lot of the graves that they've found of ancient vodvizhinas, they had wealth. They were known to charge well. They went from community to community, sharing, you know, wisdom and advice and helping the women in the community. And they were respected by men in power, and their guidance was seriously considered. And when I thought about the role that I wanted something that gave me freedom to move around. I'm someone who struggles with this inner battle between wanting to homestead and have roots and wanting to travel and be very nomadic. And I think that nomadic piece is not only very much baked into my energetic blueprint, my chart, no matter what system you're looking at. I'm a wanderer at heart. It's who I am. It's what I'm called to. But also when you look at my heritage, my ancestors had that as well. So whether it's a past life thing, whether it's an ancestral memory, I'm someone who will always be on the move. And while I'm finding my roots now for my children, because I'm a mother of two and I want to give them stability in the stage that they are in their life right now, I'm always feeling called to move, to get moving. So here was this example of a career pathway that always put you on the move, that helped empower other women, that helped healing, that was respected, that charged her worth, that had abundance. And I looked at the traditional pathways in today's society, and nothing held the magic and the calling that this path did. So even though, and I'm not going to say I'm the only one in the world, there's many people who do claim the title of Vodvizhina and as their pathway, I am following an ancient profession, a career that isn't considered mainstream. And sometimes that can be difficult because there's no guidebook, there's no framework to go, this is how you do it. I'm very much figuring it out as I go. But I think to a certain degree, that's a good thing, because that helps me empathize with a lot of my clients who are sometimes people that have created their own modalities, or they're bringing together pieces, almost, you know, their own interpretation of modalities that they've learned. They're bringing together all of this magic and they're finding ways to do it themselves. So I love that this path that I've been put on has also given me an opportunity to be an example that there might not be a guidebook for it. There might not be someone you can like a school that you can learn and a piece of paper that you can get, but you can very much follow your own path and march to the beat of your own drum and do it your own way. And you can build a business, and it can be a respected profession that charges it your worth, and that you can pay your bills with, and that you can live this life that you've been dreaming of, and that is very much a valid option. So as hard as it can be at times when I say I'm a vodvizhina and no one has any fucking clue what that means, at the end of the day it doesn't matter, because what matters is what I can help people with, and the transformations that I've facilitate in that healing space for them. And I think that's why I got so drawn to helping people articulate the work that they do, because I understand that when you find it hard to talk about the work that you do, it holds you back. It stops you sharing the magic of your work. It stops you from posting on social media. It stops you from creating courses or posting in groups and that kind of stuff, because you're constantly going, well, am I talking about my work the right way? No one knows what this modality is. Well, no one knows what a fucking vulva is. So if you can take anything from this episode, understand that it's okay to do it your own way and to figure it out, and just taking it one piece at a time. So that is my origin story in a nutshell. we'll go with that. As episodes unfold, I'm sure you'll learn more about me and the way that I do things. But I'm really excited to take this journey with you. And if you can stand the sound of my voice and listening to me ramble a little bit from time to time, once a week, that's how I'm hoping to drop these episodes. If that is something you'd like to do, feel free to subscribe, like, review, do all of those podcasty things. We'll be popping the video of these episodes on YouTube if you're a visual learner and you like to be able to connect that way. You'll be able to see my face. And if you're an audio processor, these audio versions of the episodes will be going out as well. Do it your own way. And I'll also be embedding these on my website with the transcripts written out, trying to be as mindful of the different learning styles and the way that you choose to process information. Maybe you want to speed up my talking. Maybe you want to slow it down because I recognize I speak quite fast. Maybe you just want to skip all of that and just read through what I have to say anyway. So thank you for joining me on this journey. I would love to hear from you. If you have any requests for things you would like me to talk about, my inbox is always open. I'll make sure I pop all of that kind of information and all my links. If you want to come follow me on social media, I'll put all of them in the show notes. Otherwise, it is an absolute honor to be able to hold this space for you, and I'm really excited to see where the rest of these episodes go. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of By the Cottage Hearth with me, your host, Dana Marie. Make sure to like, subscribe, and follow on whatever platform you're on to be notified of new episodes. And you can also follow me on By the Cottage Hearth on Facebook and Instagram. Check out show notes for any links or freebie goodies that I might have going at the time. Otherwise, I'll see you on the next episode. Keep healing.